bless you. I'm hoping that it will truly bless you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, and we're going to read just 2 verses, but these 2 verses are packed with God's truth, and I'm hoping, Brian, today to shed some new light or look at it from a different angle that will reveal to you some things you probably have not thought about in regards to this passage of Scripture. So you need your notebooks, you need your pen and your paper, and I want you to take notes. And I want you to open up your heart and your mind to receive what God has to say today. When you leave here today, you should leave much different going out than when you came in. Even if you came in heavy, you should go out feeling free and unburdened. Amen? Can we agree to that? Excellent. All right. Let's read these two passages, two verse scriptures together. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I give birth to him in pain." 10. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will not be free from pain." And God granted his request. I'll be free from pain. All right. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning from the subject, God can reverse your situation. God can reverse your situation. Is there anybody in here today that has a situation that you feel is going in the wrong direction? Do I have any witnesses in the house? Just about 3 people. Is there anybody in the house today that has a situation that is going in the wrong direction, and you would love God to reverse your situation, to take it in the opposite direction? Come on now. Expect something from God today. Because God can reverse your situation. All right? And there are many marriages today that are going in the wrong direction, and God can reverse it. There are many people with financial struggles going in the wrong direction, but God can reverse that situation as well. There are many people with health issues, and it's going in the wrong direction, but God can also reverse that situation as well. There are relational issues that we face, and job issues, and other circumstances in life that's going in the wrong direction. But God can reverse it. That addiction issue, God can reverse it. Those emotional issues, God can reverse it. But it don't make no... Oh, those kids, thank you, Audrey. The kids that are going in the wrong direction, he can reverse them too and get them moving in the right direction. Most of us in here, you've heard of the prayer of Jabez, haven't you? Is there anybody in here who's never heard of the prayer of Jabez? Let me just show you. If you've never heard about the prayer of Jabez, raise your hands. We've all heard about the prayer. Okay, 1, 2. All right, so that's good. So I'm going to preach to you two then, because the rest are familiar with it, all right? So I will engage you two. The rest of them know the text, so that's fine. And this prayer, there are some, when it came out, and Bruce Wilkerson was one who really made this prayer popular
over the last little while, and he wrote a book, The Prayer of Jabez, and it was like number 10 on the New York bestsellers, all right? And it was up there for a while. And what did I say? I said something wrong. I didn't say anything wrong? Okay. My wife is this. When I say something wrong, I get that look, so I know, okay, what did I just say wrong? I know that look at, right? You know, so something, and I said something wrong. Anyway, Bruce Wilkerson is a good mentor to Alan. You guys are familiar with him and his ministry? And what's that? And he wrote this little book called The Prayer of Jabez, and it just went worldwide, and some people took it a little too far. In the sense that what they were saying, Eileen, is that if you just take this prayer and you read it 3 times a day, every day, that God is going to give you the things that he gave to Jabez. And so people were using it as some kind of a gimmick to say that if I just did this formula, this is what God is going to do for me. And there's nothing wrong with the prayer. It's a beautiful prayer, and all of us should pray the prayer. But before you get into the prayer, you've got to understand the context in which the prayer sits upon. Nolan, I'm getting a fair bit of feedback. I'm not too sure what's going on up here. We have to understand the context upon which the prayer is based upon. And so I'm going to do a little research, and I'm going to take you along with me, and we're going to paint a little bit of a picture, because if you want God to reverse your situation, you've got to understand how it needs to be done. All right? Are you with me? All right. So here in this prayer of Jabez are some very important things, and if you want to see change in your life, if you want your situation to go in a different direction, I believe that if we commit ourselves to employing these principles, Clyde, that we see in the text today, I believe God will give us the desires of our hearts and answer our prayers. Jabez, in this text, is refusing to live in a stuck environment. How many people feel stuck today in some way? And if you feel stuck, you need to emulate Jabez's example. And as I began to prepare this text, I thought of our congregation here this morning. And in some ways, I believe that we are stuck in a little bit, because we want to see change. We want to see growth. But, you know, every time we take 3 steps forward, it looks like you take 2 backwards. So something is off someplace. So this really began to speak to me as a pastor, as I share with you. And I told you over the last 24 months that we have a spiritual complacency challenge, and complacency is the fact where people feel that, you know, they're satisfied with where things are at, even though they know it's not where they should be, but satisfied in terms of not having any desire or willingness to make any change about what's taking place. And I feel like our congregation is sort of in that state. We know that we need to make changes, but we're all too busy and too tired to really exert any kind of energy to employ the changes that are necessary. But we know that the situation has to change. We know that we can't keep going where we're going. And Jabez knew that. He couldn't keep going where he was going. So recognizing the context of our church and the prayer as well, I'm going to pull some things out of this for you. So first of all, when we read the Chronicles, the books of the Chronicles, this prayer is tucked away in there. But before we get to the prayer, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what is the purpose of 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Because if you're going to understand these two verses, you've got to understand of both books, Brian. So what is the purpose of 1st and 2nd Chronicles? And the purpose of Chronicles is a reminder of the stories of faith and the purpose of God in the lives of the children of Israel. The nation of Israel had just returned from captivity. And so this book of Chronicles is a reminder of what God has done for them, and it's supposed to be passed on from generation to generation. The author traces the roots of the nation of Israel in the family reunion atmosphere. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 1, he begins with Adam all the way to Zerubbabel and recounting his royal lineage and acknowledging the loving plan of a personal God in their lives. In Chronicles, the author gives us a long list of genealogies. But again, what is the purpose of the list of genealogies? So if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, you're going to see that the sons of Adam, and it goes on, the sons of this person, the sons of Carmen, and the sons of Joseph, and all the sons of, and it's listed there. And you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of these genealogies? And it is a strong reminder of the necessity for tracing your roots and passing on God's truth to the next generation. In other words, if you don't know where you've come from, how can you know and understand who you are and where you're going? And this is why in our setting, I always encourage people not to forsake your culture. You've got to understand where you've come from in order for you to have a good idea of who you are. Many of the things that I do today in my life that drives my wife crazy, I understand where they come from. They have been imparted to me way back as a child back in Guyana. And so you laugh, but it's true, right? So you cannot, you know, you can't try to fix today unless you understand where you came from. And so the purpose of the genealogies, Joseph, is to remind the children of Israel where they come from and who they are. And once you know where you come from and who you are, you can have self-assurance and confidence that you can move forward with positiveness, with understanding of who you are and where God wants to take you. People who don't know who they are lost. And any road would get them to where they want to go because they have no sense of direction, no sense of purpose, because they don't know who they are. But in order to understand who you are, you got to understand your roots, understand your culture, understand your background. All right? So we see in this text that this is the purpose of these genealogies. And I want to point out some things, and I want you to help me today paint a picture because you're going to help me preach this. So in verses 9 of our text, it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. All right, then it goes on to verse 10 where he asks God to bless him. So I want you to paint a picture for me. In the middle of these, all of the genealogies, you know, you look at chapter 4, verses 1, and we can look at it together, and you can help me paint a picture. The descendants of Judah, Perez. And it goes on, and all the different names that are there. If you back up to chapter 3, these are the sons of David, born to him in Hebron. And if you back up to 2, and Solomon's son, and all of it starts with the father, and then the sons. And in the middle of this genealogy list, Pastor Allen, it doesn't say anything about Jabez's father. All it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So help me paint the picture. All the previous genealogies started with dad, and so-and-so is the son of so-and-so. When it comes to Jabez, who's missing? Dad's missing. All right? How come dad is missing? What did he do to disqualify himself from the genealogy that he's not mentioned in the genealogy? And just two verses, doesn't say who the father of Jabez was. It just says Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. Then it goes on to talk about the prayer request that he submitted. The next thing we want to know, so make a note of this. Dad is absent. First of all, dad is absent. Dad's not in the picture. Doesn't mention anything about dad. Then we notice that his mother gives birth to him, okay, and she names him Jabez. Means pain or sorrow. All right? So you have to ask yourself the question. She named him pain or sorrow because she gave birth to him in pain. Now, whether it's a cesarean section or a natural birth, it's going to hurt. Either way. All right? So she has other children because Jabez has other brothers. Are you with me still, Dale? All right? So how come she doesn't name them pain and sorrow? So it has to be something more than just the pain of childbirth. Because if pain was the result of giving birth, then all of her previous children and every child after that should have named pain. So you should have had pain Devonal, pain Rampasad, okay? All right, pain Pizer. All right? But that is not the case with Jabez. So dad is absent. We don't really know why. He's excluded from the genealogies. We're going to pick up some other things. Mother names him Pain, which she takes her pain and she puts it on Jabez. It's sad when parents take their issues and transfer it over to the kids and expect the kids to be better than they are. All right? We don't know what she was going through, but she was going through something. And the text seems to indicate that she was battling with some sort of depression of some kind. It could be that she was giving birth to a child and there was no dad around. So maybe she was a single parent at that time. Maybe it was the embarrassment of not having a dad around. We don't know. Perhaps she was going through something emotional. We don't know. But for some reason, Stefan, she names her child Pain because of what she is going through has nothing to do with Jabez. Then the text goes on to tell us, we're painting a picture now, dad is absent, mom's got issues, and she's named him Pain, and the theme for our church is family, health, and togetherness, so stay with me. And then what we see now is that the text goes on to say, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, let's think out loud. If Jabez is more honorable than his brothers, it means that there's something in his brother's character that is not godly. All right? So they're involved in some kind of ungodly activity. Dad's absent. Mom's got issues. Brothers are dishonest. We don't know in what way, but they're dishonorable. All right? And Jabez is named Pain, and he has to live in a Jewish community with this being known about him in the community because he's Jewish. Judah? Jewish. All right? And so you think of living in a community when everybody knows your business. Your dad's a drunk, your mom's got issues, your brothers are thieves, your name is Pain, and somehow you've got to walk around in that community with your head held high. Am I painting the picture for you?
Yeah.
Are you getting it? All right. So this is the situation with Jabez. All right? So now, we don't know what's all going on in his head. But we do know, when we read the text, that he cries out to the Lord. And it's a prayer request. We're going to get into that. The three points that I want to talk to you about today, when we look at the text, we notice that, again, there's no dad in the picture. He's got dishonorable brothers. Because of his prayer of what he asked God for, we can also draw the conclusion that he is poor because he asked the Lord to bless him and increase his territory. Now, I want you to stop and think for a minute. What was one thing that God always gave to the children of Israel that's still causing problems today in the Middle East? Land. He is Jewish. What is he supposed to have? So why is he praying to God and asking God to increase his territory? Something is missing. So let's, not going to use our imagination, we don't know where that is, but land was given to the children of Israel, and the land was to pass on from generation to generation. So Jabez's family should have had some land. So here we see Jabez coming to the Lord. Dad's not in the picture. Mom's got issues. Dishonorable brothers. He's named Pain and Sorrow, and everybody knows here comes pain and sorrow. And when we look at the text based on his prayer, what he's asking for, they're supposed to have an inheritance. The tribe of Levi was the only tribe that did not have land because they were the priestly tribe, and they were supposed to look after the dwelling place, the temple, and God would take care of them. This is not the case. We see Jabez asking God to increase his territory. Now, some scholars say that he's asking God for land or more land. When we look at the text and all the Hebrew words and all that sort of thing, it seems to indicate that there is no land. And he's asking God to make him prosperous. Now, you know that when you have wealth, you become what can be a respectable member of your community, society. You've got wealth, you've got land, you're respected, you're a good business person, God is blessing you. And of course, the children of Israel often associated that when you've got wealth, you had the blessings and the favor of God. If you didn't, somehow God wasn't with you. Sometimes that was their thinking. And so we got no dad, mom's got issues, Jabez's name is Pain, he's poor, they're struggling, and he's got dishonorable brothers, and this is where we come into a text where Jabez comes and he begins to talk to God. Now, how do you survive in this kind of environment when all the cards in the deck have been stacked against you? How do you come back from that? When you've been pigeonholed, put down, bad history, you know, you don't have support, and you've got to walk around with your head held high and be victorious and prosperous. Is there anybody in that situation today? It's got a lot of problems. It's got a lot of problems for Jabez. Lots of problems. How he's going to work this through? So here's what we discovered. If Jabez is going to have a reverse in his situation, it's going to require him doing some things. And one of the first things that I felt in my heart that Jabez needed to do was to cultivate positive relationships with the community. Now, that's not easy to do. He's got 5 or 6 stripes against him. And if his brothers are known to be thieves, when Jabez walked around, what do you think people were thinking? Come on now, what would you do? All right? If you knew somebody was a thief and they came and sat in church next beside you, you'd be grabbing your purse or your wallet. You may not be doing it so that everyone can see, but you'd be very discreet about it. You'd be very cautious, wouldn't you? All right? And not that he's done anything, but just the fact that he's been labeled that pain. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you is that if you want to see a change in your situation, that you've got to cultivate positive relationships. And Jabez, he lived in such an honorable way in the community that people noticed the difference in his character. His walk was different. New Hope, his talk was different. He was different. His attitude was different. This company that he hung around with was different, because how many of you know, if you lie down with dogs, you come up with fleas. When everyone else was doing it, he wasn't doing it. Corinthians tells us that bad company corrupts good character. He had to separate himself from those who would taint him or taint his reputation. He had to be constantly fighting off the stigma of his family's reputation. I remember when I first started pastoring, I was age 29, I'm 44 now, and I went into certain parts of our black community, black Caribbean community, and I remember a number of people actually when I told them that I was going to be a pastor. One guy particularly said to me, he says, "You're too young to be my pastor," age 29, you know, and I said to myself, wow, this is a real good beginning, because, you know, you have to be 65 before you can be able to serve well. You know, I mean, Jesus started when he was, you know, much younger than I was, at 30 and 33. He had an excellent ministry. And And many people told me that, you know what, you're too young. Yet still, I thought to myself, if these folks went to a doctor, they wouldn't want a doctor who was trained in 1902. They'd want the guy who had the most up-to-date information. But yet still, to be a pastor, you got to be an old guy to be able to be effective. The other thing I encountered, was that? I'm getting there. Thank you, honey. All right. Just remember, you're ahead of me, so whatever you experience, I'm right behind. All right. And one of the other things that I experienced as well is that in our community, we had some pastors who had failed morally. Now, pastors fail morally all over the place. It's not just a black pastor, a white pastor, a Chinese pastor. People fail morally all the time. 1,500 of them leave the ministry every month. That's what survey tells us. But because some of these guys had failed morally, there was a stigma on me coming into the ministry that I wouldn't be any different. And so even though I had done nothing, there was this thing that if black pastor, you're probably going to have a church that sings for 3 hours, take up 7 offerings, probably have sticky fingers, and probably going to have some kind of an immoral accusation against you of some sort. And at the time, that was the stigma out there. And so I had to really work hard to live my life in such a way that I didn't get any of those kinds of accusations. I have not stolen any church's money, and I have not had relations with that woman. Jabez had this stigma attached to him that he had to overcome, and he had to work hard to cultivate positive relationships. I want to say to you, New Hope, that if you want your situation to turn around, you can't hang out with people that's going no place. All right? You can't hang out with negative people. You can't be hanging out with critical people. You can't hang out with people who've got nothing positive to say. Every time they open their mouth, they're putting somebody down. They got nothing good to. You've got to change. You've got to separate yourself from that. Because if Jabez hung around his dishonored brothers, people would have pegged him to be the same. But the text tells us that he was more honorable than his brother. He wasn't without sin. But he was different in how he behaved. And I want to say to you, you've got to be careful who you hang around. If you want your character and your integrity to stand, you've got to choose the right people to hang around. You've got to cultivate relationships that can empower you and help you get to the next level. If you want to be a 6, you can't hang around with 2s and 3s. Yeah. Amen? They teach us that in business. All right? So you've got to find people that you want to be successful. What do they tell you? You want to be successful? Find somebody who's successful. Amen. All right? If you want to be a successful pastor, don't hang around with a guy that's got 5 people in his congregation. Find a guy that's got 5,000. See what he did and emulate his example. And so if you want to have success and victory in life, you've got to hang around with those who can help you, who've been where you want to go and can help you get there. And so the first thing that Jabez did was he had to cultivate positive relationship. To make this kind of adjustment requires a lot of internal changes. You don't get up one morning and just decide that I'm not going to hang around with so-and-so. There has to be something inside of you that is longing for better. There has to be something that is longing for more. There's something inside you that has to be dissatisfied with the status quo. You've got to want to be better. You have to want more. You want to push yourself to maximize your full potential and to see what God has for you has in store for you. His mother named him pain or sorrow. Number two, not only do you have to cultivate positive relationships, but Jabez has got to choose legacy over label. You've got to choose legacy over label. When he was born, he was labeled a certain way. There's some of you that have been labeled certain things. Some of you still have those labels on you. All right? But people are always trying to define us and to put us into categories. But I want you to know today, Brother Morgan, that someone's negative opinion of you must never become your reality. Absolutely not. All right? Someone's negative opinion of you must never become your reality. Someone's negative opinion of you must never become your reality, because when it becomes your reality, you've now stooped to their level. And people are always trying to categorize you and to peg you and to put you in this group or that group or that group. But Jabez understood who he was, not by who his mother called him, but who God made him to be. And so even though she named him pain and sorrow, Jabez says, I'm going to refute the label and I'm going to go for legacy. And unless you understand who God has called you to be, you will never reach your potential in understanding and get into your legacy. And so in this point number two here, the text says he was named pain, and everyone suffers pain, including Jesus. There's no person in this earth that's going to be excluded from suffering pain. But pain is the gift that nobody wants. But if you live long enough, all of us will have to experience some pain. We're going to have to cry sometimes. We're going to run into difficulties. We're going to run into heartaches. We're going to run into pain and difficulties. But we cannot allow those situations to define who we are. They can help mold us. They can help shape us, but they will never define who we are, because we don't conform to our circumstances. We conform to God's opinion and God's ideas of who we are. So there is significance in a name. And so when he was named Pain, in Jewish culture and even today, most people try to live up to their name. My father told me that my name Sion means man of authority and leader. And if he was here today, I would say, Dad, I'm still trying to live up to both of those. But can you imagine if your name was Pain and you had to try to live up to that? Meaning that you were going to bring pain, or you're going to cause pain, or you're going to experience pain. Where do you go with that? Where do you go with that? And so he was determined to live for the Lord in spite of what he was called, and in spite of what everyone else did to him. And this should be the heart of every child of God. What people say about you must never define you. So like Jabez, let us stand up for the legacy versus the label. Stand up for the legacy. Carmen, they may say, well, you were this. It may be part of your past, but doesn't define your future. All right? The things you've done may be a part of your past, but it's not a part of your future. And so I want to encourage you to choose legacy. And legacy is understanding who I am in the sight of God and where he wants me to go. And when I leave this earth, I want to leave a legacy. And so after Jabez is gone, we are still here today talking about him and this prayer and this lifestyle. How can a person who's experienced so much in life continue to fight through and struggle through to hold on to the things of God? You know what I discovered, New Hope? Even today in church, I mean, Jabez, no dad around, no inheritance, mom's got issues, dishonorable brothers, he's got a name that doesn't do him justice, and in spite of all of that, he's still calling out to God. He didn't get mad, stop talking to the priest or the pastor. He didn't leave the church, stop coming to church, start whining, griping, and complaining. Hello, somebody. Now you're going to talk to me now. All right? Point number three, Sister Pearl, is that Jabez began to call on God. But there's some nuggets in the text that I want you to look at. Now, look at verse number 10 as we look at point number three. Jabez called out in prayer. So, the first thing I want to ask myself, after going through all the things that he went through, where would he get this desire to call on the name of God? Because in reality, Joseph, when people go through these kinds of things, what's the first thing they drop? They drop their relationship with God. When people start going through struggles, the first thing they do, if they're not mature believers, is they drop their relationship with God. They begin to isolate themselves and separate themselves, and they're mad and they're angry and they want people to run after them and you know, pamper them, and it's all manipulation and control. Jabez doesn't do this. Jabez turns to God. what I sense in the text, Sister Pearl, and this is a tribute to all mothers, because dad's not around. His brothers were dishonorable. Mom might have had issues, but I believe that she taught him how to call on the name of the Lord, even though she had her own problems. And so that when Jabez got to an age where he understood what he was doing, he was now able to call on God. Isn't it interesting that you would see a nice, godly lady trying to raise her family and trying to raise him in the ways of God, but she's got a husband who's out doing his thing, but she still battles through with all of that, still keeps the faith, still keeps going on. Ladies, moms, I honor you. It's a great little example that I see in the text, that you can still hold on to God's unchanging hands, even though you're catching hell on every side. Yeah, honor to you, and to try to raise your children well. Yes. So we notice that Jabez cries out to God. And in verse 10 of our text, it tells us that Jabez cries out to the Lord of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." Another translation says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And what I hear Jabez asking for, just don't give me stuff on the surface. Give me, you know, don't give me two or three cars and then I got to hide it from being repossessed. But bless me indeed. Give me the cars, give me the blessings that it's mine indeed. It's not just on the outside, but it's an internal blessing as well. He wants all of God to be all over him, to be a true blessing. Give me some blessings so that I can afford it, so that I don't have to hide from anybody. I can give Revenue Canada what rightfully belongs to them. I don't have to cut corners. So bless me indeed. Then he goes on to say, not only I want you to bless me indeed, but he says, I want you to increase my territory. All right? Because when he begins to get land, it's a symbol, or enlarge my borders, it's a symbol that this is a, God is restoring to him what God already wants him to have. So let me ask you this question. Jabez is not praying a selfish prayer. Now, some people, they pray selfish prayers. Lord, give me 7 bank accounts with $7 million in each. Lord, give me 7 Mercedes-Benz. You know, give me 7 houses in Riverbend. Or we're asking for prayers that are selfish. You know, it's all about us. But this is not a selfish prayer at all. Because what, and the reason you can tell it's not selfish is because he's praying for something that God wants him to have. God wanted the children of Israel to have land. So if there's something that God wants you to have, pray about it. So God says, man shall not be alone. So if you want a wife, pray for a wife. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want a husband, pray for a husband. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants you to work and to have good health. Pray for good health. Pray for jobs. God wants you to have those things. Pray for those things because that's what he wants you to have. Jabez is not praying selfish prayers. He's asking God to increase his territory and to make him prosperous and to give him an inheritance in the midst of all that he's going through. So whatever it is that God wants you to have, pray for it and believe God for it. Then also we notice in the text that Jabez says, let your hand be with me. Now, can you imagine if God bless us with a lot of material things and then took his hands away from us? What would happen? What do you think will happen? We wouldn't be able to handle it. So Jabez says, now I want you to bless me, but I don't want you to bless me and move away. I want you to bless me and stay with me. Because when you're with me, I'm going to use good wisdom and discernment as to how to use what you've blessed me with. I'm not going to use it for stupidness. All right? I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to squander it like the prodigal son. He wanted the father's blessing, but he didn't want the father. And so he moved away from the father. And when he got to a place where there's famine and he lost his job and he couldn't see his way, now he's coming back to the father. Jabez says, I don't want that. I want you to bless me, but I want you to keep your hands on me. And it's shameful when a Christian doesn't want the hand of God over their life, because I want God to walk with me. I want him to talk with me. I want him to guide me in the morning and at noonday. I want him to be my light, my lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I want him to be my leaning post. I want him to go before me, behind me, beside me. I want God to just be with me at always, all times, because if he leaves me to myself, my flesh would lead me to make some poor decisions. We ought to want all of God. Jabez said, Lord, keep your hands on me. And then the next thing we notice in the verse, and there's lots of little nuggets in the verse, he says, not only let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, Jabez's name is Pain, and he's asking God to keep him from pain. So what he's asking God, he said, God, I know me. You need to keep me from me. Keep me from myself, because I know what's going on inside of me. And Joseph, the indication from Scripture is because of what Dad seems to have done and the character of his brothers, there seems to be some trait in the family that might be hereditary. And Jabez is recognizing it and saying to himself, I don't want to have what they have. So, Lord, keep me from myself. I don't want this. And, you know, it's good when you can recognize what's wrong inside of you and you can ask God to do it. It's a sad thing when I see Christians who don't recognize that something is off on the inside and they can't discern it. Oh, they can discern it in my life and everybody else's life, but they can't discern it in their own lives. But I think the first place you ought to be able to discern it in your own life and say, God, I recognize there's some stuff in me that needs to go, that if you leave me to myself, I'll make a mess of everything. So keep me from jeopardizing me, Lord Jesus, so that I can be all that you want me to be. Keep me from me. Keep me from harm, that I don't bring pain into people's lives, or I don't cause pain into people's lives. And some people are not very sensitive about what they do. They get their blessings and they feel that because God has blessed them, I'm going to get in trouble now. God's blessed me. I can use my gifts and my abilities however I want, and to hell with you. If you don't like it, you hit the door or do whatever you need to do. But this is not what we see with Jabez. He wants his gifts and everything that God has for him to be used according to the blessings of God. When God blesses you, your gifts and abilities should be able to help somebody else come along. Your gifts and abilities are to help people get to where they need to go. It can't be about you and what you want and how this affects you. He doesn't give us gifts for us. He gives us gifts so that we can use them to be a blessing to others. Now, you don't know this, but in one of the other books, I think it's 2 Chronicles 2:55. Correct me, I might be wrong on that. But Jabez seems to have taken the blessings that God gave to him and used it to start a school for the prophets and the prophetess. It's indicated in Scripture. What I want to say to you today is this. And that verse might be wrong. I should have wrote it down. I read it when I should have written it down. What I want to say to you, that when God blesses you, it's not for you to use it for your own self. Now, there's something that the text doesn't say. The last thing the text says is that God granted him his desire. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers today? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that still hears and answers prayers today? And we don't know, Stefan, how God answered. The Bible doesn't say that 1,000 angels came down and said to Jabez, okay, Jabez, you know, this is all your prayers are going to be answered. Or we don't know what method God used. But what we do know is that God answered his prayers. And I believe that God opened doors for him, that Jabez just took opportunity, started investing little by little, and he got more money back than he was supposed to get. And I believe that God started opening doors and people started making a way for him. And over a period of time, he was able to accumulate the wealth that he wanted and the blessings of God. And that's a good thing, because sometimes if God blesses us with everything that we want all at once, we will kill ourselves. And so sometimes, Archie, he has to give it to us in increments, bit by bit, year after year. But when you look back 5 years from now, you should be able to see improvement. You may not be where you want to be today, but it's not where you were 5 years ago. And so you ought to be able to see improvements. Now, if you are a child of God and you can look back over your life and over the last 25 years you can't see no improvements, this means that something is wrong. There has to be some growth. There has to be some improvements, all right? And so if there's no growth and there's no improvement, somebody is out of line, and I know it's not God. So there has to be some alignment and some growth, and there has to be some improvements as we go along. We don't know how the Lord blessed Jabez, angels and whatnot, but we do see that God answered prayers. New Hope, I don't know about you today, but I want to tell you that whatever your circumstances are today, we serve a God that hears and answers prayers. I wish I had somebody who knew what I'm talking about. I don't know what you're going through, but the God that I serve hears me. He's got eyes to see. He's got ears to hear. And he pities my groan. I don't know about you, but I want to call on God the minute I run into a difficult time. In fact, I don't only want to wait until there's a difficult time. I want to call on him every day, all day, that I don't have to go to him and introduce myself. Jabez didn't have to go to God and introduce himself. God never said, Jabez, who are you? Where you coming from? But God responded when Jabez prayed, because that's an indication that God knew who he was. And I want God to know me, so that when I call upon him, I don't have to present identification. I just have to say, Lord, it's Sion. And he ought to be able to say, I know who you are. What could I do for you today? And so Jabez called on the name of God, and God answered his prayers. And I don't know where you are today, whatever your circumstances may be, but if you've got a problem that a hurt can't solve, I want you to know that you can call on the name of Jesus, and he will make a way out of knowing. That's what his word tells us. He answers the prayers of the people. The Bible tells us that if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek, you will find. So call on God. He did it once before. He'll do it again. And he'll do it again. New Hope, God wants us to have a relationship with him. And no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what they've said about you, no matter what they call you, you are a child of the living God. And if you keep your hands in God's hands, he can turn your situation around. He can reverse the circumstance and make a new way for you and give you a new name, a new identity, a new prosperity, and lift you up above what people say that you're supposed to be. That's my God. That's what he does. And I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, God can reverse your situation. You got to develop the right kind of relationships. You've got to separate yourself. It's going to cost you some family. It's going to cost you some friends, because you have to pay a price to go where God wants you to go. Sacrifice. Thank you, Eileen. The sacrifice. And then you have to see with your own eyes who God, or how God sees you. Jabez's mother saw him as pain and sorrow. But Jabez says, Mom, I love you, but your opinion of me will not become my reality. I'm going to rise above this. Amen. I love you, Mama, yeah, but you're going through a lot of struggles. You will not define who I am. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a child of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you got to call on him. Some people only call on him when they've got issues, when they run into difficulty. But a child of God ought to be able to call on God every day, every day, every time. So I don't know what your circumstances are, but the kind of God that I serve is the one who can reverse your situation like he did for Jabez. Here is a man where daddy was absent, Mama had issues. His name meant pain and sorrow. His brothers were dishonorable. And everybody in the community knew it. And he had to live like this. But he chose to change his circumstances. Notice he didn't wait for the pastor to do it, or his uncle to do it, or his friends to do it. He took the responsibility to create change in his own environment. We have a lot of people today who want change, but they're blaming and waiting for somebody else to do it for them. You'll keep waiting if that's your situation. You have to take initiative. You have to get to the place where you're tired of being tired of being sick and tired and change your situation. Let me close with this little illustration. Sometimes I wish Pastor Allen or Kathy's around at 2 or 3 in the morning when I'm preparing the stuff so that I can run stuff by them, because I feel it in my heart and I say it and then sometimes it doesn't come out right. But I'm going to illustrate to you. You know that I've been given an opportunity to get involved and to be a part owner of a business. And it's an opportunity that doesn't require any investment from me. You don't get those kinds of opportunity. And at first, I got to be honest with you, I thought, man, it's just for real, because it always costs you something. it's never nothing given, And we've been moving forward with the business, and I felt really torn because Jabez asked God for an opportunity to change a situation. And I said, Lord, I love our people. We're not a big church, but I need an opportunity to change my situation. I'll preach as long as they want me. I'll stick around. I'll preach. But I need an opportunity to be a good dad, be a good husband, look after my family, which is what the Bible says I should do anyway. All right? And that's priority. That's number one. God, after God, family, then church. I had my priorities a little bit reversed, but I'm fixing that. There's no perfect person, including me, even though I'm the fourth part of the Trinity. But I need help. So long story short, everywhere I turn, Joseph, I keep running into people who have been into the spray foam business and are Christians and are willing to help me with whatever I need. It's unbelievable. Just yesterday, a couple of Friday, I was putting a piece of equipment in my garage because we don't have any place to store it. And my neighbor, we say hi and bye and nothing real close. And, he comes over to help me put it in because I was struggling with it. So he comes over and he helps me. And he says, what are you doing with this? And I said, well, I'm putting it in a spray foam rig. And he goes, oh, man, I used to do that 2 years ago. If you need any help, I can help you. I can work. And it just seems that when you ask for the opportunity, God brings the people around to help you with what you need. There are people that I'm going to be competition with once we get going that are still willing to help me. Isn't that God? All right. So that's just a practical example, because I know sometimes we look at the Bible and we go, oh, it's 4,000 years removed and it's not relevant today. I want you to know that it is relevant today, because the same God that's in yesterday is the same God that's today and is the same God that's tomorrow. So he will make a way, and he does hear, and he does answer, but you got to ask for the opportunity. So whatever your opportunity is, Lord, I need an opportunity to change my situation. And because it's what God wanted him to do and to have, God blessed him. God wants Jabez to have land. He gave Israel land. He wanted the children of Israel always to have him in their lives. He got frustrated with the children of Israel when they went and worshiped false gods constantly. So he wants to have that close relationship. So when Jabez asked for those things, it was not an issue for God. Here, you want land? I give you land. You want a relationship? I'll stay close to you if you stay close to me. It was there. So I want to encourage you with these things. God can reverse your situation. We got to emulate the example that we see in the text. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Let's stand together. I'm not sure what situation you are in today, but if you've got a situation like Jabez, where you've been pegged a certain way, Maybe dad has abandoned you and it hasn't been well with you, and I don't make fun of that in own ways. I see so many people today that are grown men and women, issues manifesting in their marriages, and they think it's marital issues, but it goes back to childhood issues that are still unresolved. Maybe mom hadn't done her best with you, or maybe she called you names that you didn't like, I don't know. But whatever your circumstances are, whatever they may be, would you give the Lord an opportunity to do a work in you today? If our altar ministry folks are available, would you come and just be at the altar today to pray with anyone who desires to be prayed for? Amen. Thank you, ladies. Anyone else in the altar ministry team? Joseph? Okay. All right. I'll just leave that there. I'll deal with it afterwards. People get excited about the prayer of Jabez, but they don't understand the context and the background. So now that you see, now you understand how that prayer formulates. Now I don't know who you are today, but would you give the Lord an opportunity to do great work in your heart, in your life today? God can reverse your situation. He can change it. He can help you to get moving in the right direction. But you're going to have to change some of the things that you've been doing. Your mindset's going to have to change. Heart's going to have to change. Friends and family may have to do some adjustments there. But give him an opportunity to do a great work in your life today. All right. Ed, would you play something for us softly? Thanks, Ross. Yeah, that's good. Feel free to pick any one of these individuals, and they will pray for you, pray with you, and help you with whatever you've got going on.